I'm WAER's Katie Zolkowski, and you're listening to Her Hilltop High, a series that's taking a look at Syracuse University's history ahead of the school's 150th anniversary in 2020. We're going to start this episode around 1893. Syracuse University is just about 20 years old at this point. The colors have gone from pink and green to pink and blue, and now they're finally the orange we all know and love. And 1893 was a pretty big year for Syracuse traditions.
So, and in this case, we also have the Block S, which was established by the Athletic Governing Board in 1893. And again, I don't have anything official, so I'm just showing some early images. This is the earliest image we have of someone wearing the Block S. It's a baseball team photograph, and so he's got it on his sweater there in the back.
That's Syracuse University archivist Meg Mason again. She says the Block S was originally designated as the highest athletic achievement at Syracuse University.
So it was more like a varsity letter back then, mm-hmm. but now it's kind of the whole Syracuse community has kind of embraced it as their own. You know, the Block S represents Syracuse University as a whole.
Also in 1893, we have first-year students starting to wear lids, later known as beanies, to differentiate themselves from upperclassmen. The beanies started as green, but eventually became varying shades of orange.
And probably in the 30s or so, it changed to orange. And sometimes they wrote their names on them, sometimes they didn't. And the Goon Squad, which was established in the 1940s, were the ones who enforced the wearing of the beanies. And an upperclassman could say, "Tip it, Frosh," and you would be expected to tip your hat, your beanie, in respect. And they got these manuals, and this is an example of a poster that was posted by the sophomores to the freshmen in the early 20s, basically telling them, you know, these are our traditions.
Freshmen, in all good faith and in the absence of the usual freshman handbook, the class of 1923 offers this means to acquaint you with the rules and traditions of your university. We have at heart the welfare of Syracuse University and every individual therein. Your observance of these traditions will show that you too are loyal to your alma mater. Realize that you are now in college, but only freshmen. Rule 1. Say hello. We are all glad to see you here. Number 2. Don't be a deadhead. Get into university activities. Number 3. Wear your green lids. Freshman women, your 24 buttons. While on campus between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Sundays excepted. Always tip your lid to professors and upperclassmen. Do not wear your lid in buildings. Lids or buttons must be worn on the campus in the fall until the announcement to the contrary is made by the senior council and must be resumed in the spring on St. Patrick's Day and be worn until moving up day. Rule 4. Learn the alma mater. Other college songs. Stand and uncover when you hear the alma mater. Rule 5. Attend all mass meetings and games and cheer. Upperclassmen only may wear orange except at athletic contests when armbands should be worn by all classes. Number 6. Attend all classes. Number 7. Obey upperclassmen. Number 8, be a live wire. Read the university publications. Number 9, the wearing of prep school insignia of any description is not tolerated by the university. Rule 10, use the walks. Keep off the grass. And rule 11, don't smoke on the campus. Remember that senior council supervises all student affairs except organized athletics. These customs have been observed by every freshman class in the history of the university. Keep up the tradition. It will not only lend spirit to the university, but to your class as well. Our purpose is to replace rowdyism with gentlemanly conduct. We ask your cooperation.
I think upperclassmen, I mean, they were responsible for passing down these traditions, but they also liked keeping them in their place, you know. There was great rivalry between the sophomore and freshman class back in the day, especially before the 40s, where the freshmen and sophomore boys would basically physically tussle. You know, they'd be throwing flour at each other, like baking flour, or salt or snow, and, you know, it was basically fighting on college, across College Hill.
These tussles were called rushes at the time. The tradition started by sophomores throwing salt at freshmen to take the freshness out of them. And that eventually became upperclassmen thumping the first-year class with bags of salt. And this all eventually evolved into freshmen charging to reach the top of Krause College Hill, which was being defended by the sophomore class. Other rushes included baking flour and snow, like Meg mentioned. These rushes ended in the early 1940s, and first-year students stopped wearing beanies in the 1960s. And the alma mater was first sung publicly in 1893 by the Syracuse Glee and Banjo Club.
Alma mater handwritten by Junius Stevens, class of 1895. That's his portrait here. And we're only having this out for a couple months, and then we're putting it away because it'll get faded. I'll bring it back out in March for the official sesquicentennial.
The first basketball game at Syracuse University was played in 1898. It's the first intercollegiate basketball game ever played at Syracuse University, and it's done by the women's basketball team, not the men's.
Tiana tries to wrap it around up here. That's triple penetration. Rike Gumbawale allowed her to turn the corner.
The men weren't far behind, though, playing their first official game in 1901. Their season will run a total of four games, with SU winning two and losing two. The first few years after the turn of the 20th century brought many new structures to Syracuse's campus. The first dorm on campus, Winchell Hall, houses its first residents. Sims Hall, which at the time was a dorm, follows soon after. Archbold Stadium and Archbold Gymnasium host their first events during this time. The College of Agriculture is established on a farm that lined East Colvin Street. The school shut it down in the 1930s because of declining enrollment. And the Carnegie Library opens. It's said to be one of the last remaining Carnegie libraries on a university campus, still being used for its original purpose. By 1911, the university has established the College of Law, the College of Applied Sciences, the School of Education, the Graduate School, and a library school, which will later become the iSchool. But another school was established in 1911 right next to Syracuse University.
To supply well-educated foresters, more than 30 colleges or schools of forestry throughout the United States offer professional courses of study and practice. One of these colleges is State University of New York College of Forestry at Syracuse University. By observing some aspects of student education, we can explore in part the profession of forestry itself. In forest management, some important questions are: how much land do we have? What are its boundaries? Is it flat, hilly, or mountainous? Students learn land survey methods and how to make maps.
The New York State College of Environmental Science and Forestry will go on as a separate institution, but one that shares a close relationship with Syracuse University. Students can take classes and participate in extracurriculars across campuses. Thank you to Meg Mason at the Syracuse University Archives and the Moon Collection at SUNY ESF. Next month on Her Hilltop High, we'll take a look at Syracuse's first NCAA win and the establishment of well-regarded schools like the Whitman School of Management and the Maxwell School on Syracuse's campus. I'm Katie Zolkowski, and this is Her Hilltop High.